Let us worship God together. Thank you this morning. We thank you for your great benefits. We thank you for this beautiful day where we can sing your praises. Lord, we thank you for who you are, that you are rich in love, rich in mercy, slow to anger. Lord, we praise you for your nature. We thank you, Lord, that all things work together for good to those who love you, who are called according to your purpose. We give you thanks, O Lord, today for our friends and our family and for our church. We thank you that we always have hope because of who you are, because of your resurrection, because of your life in us, O Lord. We can and do live victoriously. In Jesus' name, we bless you, Lord. We thank you. We give you our honor and praise. Wonderful worship this morning, folks.
Let us pray to our great God. Let us begin by telling of the Lord's unfailing love. I praise him for all he has done for us. O Lord, thank you for all the ways that you have shown your love to us. You have placed us in a country blessed by peace and in safe neighborhoods where we sleep soundly and don't hear gunshots at night. You provided us with refrigerators stuffed with nutritious food and closets full of clothes. You grant us life and physical strength and health and expert medical care when we are sick. You've given us family, friends, and partners who love us and fill our lives with joy and laughter. Help us to get rid of all bitterness, rage and anger, brawling and slander, along with every form of malice. Help us to be kind and compassionate to one another, forgiving each other just as you have forgiven us. Let us not allow a grudge against a coworker or a family member to eat away at our hearts. Thank you, Lord, that you know every hair on our heads and care about our every sickness and hurt. We lift up Bob Brown and Roger Pro for healing. Let them feel your love comforting them in their illness. Thank you for this church and for its heart for the community. Thank you that so many people participated in service worship last week, and thank you for all of those who participated in the Teddy Bear Fair yesterday. Help us to be a light to the world through these outreach events. Show us if there are more ways to reach our neighbors and show them your love. We pray for our community and for the world. We pray for all those who were affected by the earthquake and volcano in Hawaii. We understand that as we lead lives of privilege, many are without basic necessities, such as sufficient shelter, safe streets, clean water, and medical care. Our hearts break for the children in Syria whose lives are disrupted and cut short by war. We know that you will judge between the nations and settle disputes for many peoples. We praise you that you work everything together for good for those who love you and are called according to your purpose. We love you, God, and we desire to live for you. And now we pray the prayer that you taught us, saying, "Who art in heaven, hallowed be your name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. Thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen."
Good morning, ladies and gentlemen. Good morning. All right. Today's scripture comes from Genesis 32, verses 22 to 32. Okay, let me stop. So that night, Jacob got up and took his two wives and his two female servants and his 11 sons and crossed the ford of the Jabbok. After he had sent them across the stream, he sent over all his possessions. So Jacob was left alone, and a man wrestled with him till daybreak. When the man saw that he could not overpower him, he touched his socket of Jacob's hip, so that his hip was wrenched as he wrestled with the man. Then the man said, "Let me go, for it is daybreak." But Jacob replied, "I will not let you go unless you bless me." The man asked him, "What is your name?" "Jacob," he answered. Then the man said, Your name will no longer be Jacob, but Israel, because you have struggled with God and with humans and have overcome. Jacob said, Please tell me your name. But he replied, Why do you ask my name? Then he blessed him there. So Jacob called the place Peniel, saying, It is because I saw God face to face that yet my life was spared. The sun rose above him as he passed Peniel, and he was limping because of his hip. Therefore, to this day, the Israelites do not eat the tendon attached to the socket of the hip, because the socket of Jacob's hip was touched near the tendon.
Thank you, Paul. That was very interesting passage, and we'll talk about that in a moment. But I wanted to ask you if you've ever had a day when you just needed a hug. How many of you have had a day? I should see every hand up, or maybe you don't like hugs, or something to encourage you. Okay, good. Because I had a morning like this recently. I had inadvertently set the alarm clock for 6:30 p.m. instead of 6:30 a.m. So I didn't start rolling out of bed until too late. And that night we have a doggy door. So the dog had been sprayed by a skunk the night before. So I shut her in the bathroom, and I couldn't find my right shoes, and I couldn't find my travel coffee mug. You know, the ones with the top on there with the little hole so you can drink. And the meeting was in 30 minutes, and the commute was 40 minutes. And although I checked again that morning, the speed limit was still 55. No problem. I went a little faster than usual just this once, so that when the person in front of me stopped short, I jammed on my brakes and spilled my coffee all over the front seat because I never had found the travel mug. And there was still a little bit of it left, though, sloshing around, you know, in the bottom of the cup there. But as I accelerated again, I hit a speed bump I didn't see, and the rest of the coffee splattered all over the steering wheel and the dashboard. You know, it makes those little dots when it dries, right? Yeah, some of you have had that. Okay, so sometimes you just need a hug after you've spilled the coffee. And when my husband threw his arms around me at the end of the day and said, I love you, it meant everything to me. Now, suppose you went through life longing for a hug but never getting it, longing for someone to ascribe value and worth to you just because you were there, but it never happened. In the passage we read today, Jacob has that ache, but it was for more than just a warm, fuzzy hug. It was for something else even more powerful. Jacob wrestled with God at night for this longing that had been with him since childhood, and I'm going to explain what that is. But I want to know first, did you ever wrestle yourselves with God in the darkness? Because I have. Plead with him in prayer for something you desired. Go back and forth with God about a burden you're carrying or a sorrow that won't go away. An emptiness that makes you afraid you can't go on. I know what that's like. I've been there. Jacob wrestled with God just like we do. Scripture says they wrestled all night until the break of day, and when the sun was just coming up over the horizon, as the haze of morning dawn was upon them, we learn what it is that Jacob wants from God more than anything in the world. He wants this. He wants it more than fame. He wants it more than wealth. He wants it more than his own life. Jacob wants to be blessed. I will not let you go, God, until you bless me, he declares. What's the blessing? Well, in Jewish families, there was this sacred gift of love, and it was called the blessing, and it was given always to the oldest male child by the father. And the blessing had five very powerful components that I'll talk to you about in a moment. It was this that Jacob stole from Esau, his twin brother, who was a few minutes older than him, so Esau would have gotten the blessing. But what Jacob did was he dressed up as his older brother, told his blind father Isaac that he was Esau, and he received the blessing from his father through a case of mistaken identity. But as we can see here, it hadn't worked. Human striving and deceit rarely pay off. 14 years later, Jacob is still not feeling blessed. I will not let you go, God, until you bless me. I don't think he requested this casually, like asking for a ham on rye or something, you know. I think the words were wrenched from his heart and came out with a heavy sob. Jacob had cried many tears before. Scripture tells us that his father had eyes only for his twin brother Esau. Many times as a child, Jacob had wanted his father to hug him, to take delight in his boyish pleasures, but the gleam of approval in his father's eyes had never been there. There was no feeling of connection with dad, no ongoing celebration of Jacob's life as a child. Time and again, he was brushed aside, belittled and ignored, and with tears, he'd withdraw, hungry for love. And now as a man, with sweat dripping off his brow, with his muscles aching and his body trembling with exhaustion, he pins God down and demands the blessing. You see, the other blessing, the one he'd stolen 14 years ago from Esau, dressing like his older brother, Jacob knew it wasn't said for him. Valuing his worth, attaching honor to him, it had been all about a case of mistaken identity, and there had been no love for Jacob in that blessing. It was all about Esau. He'd wrestled with Esau for the blessing. He'd wrestled with dad for the blessing. Every time he'd come up short, and now he was finally wrestling with God for the blessing, just to be blessed. So what is the blessing really? And why would Jacob be so desperate to attain it? Let's look at this Jewish blessing. There are five powerful elements that it contains. And it's a guide for us as parents and grandparents of children and spouses and our spouses or as caregivers or just within our church. It's a guide so that we can learn to bless one another. There were five elements to this Jewish blessing. The first one was meaningful touch. The father would lay his hand on his son's head so that the blessing could be received. Meaningful touch is critical to provide a caring background for words spoken. How often have I stood by someone in a hospital bed who was completely out and I touched their arm or their hand and all of a sudden I got a response where I hadn't before. First sign I have so often that someone's with me is when I touch them. Sometimes meaningful touch can be as simple as a hug, as I shared with you earlier. Second element is a spoken message. The father would speak words of affirmation to his child. In many families, parents may not yell at their children. They provide a roof over their heads and sometimes even a car to drive. But unless genuine words of affirmation like, I love you, I am so glad you're my daughter or son, are stated, children are left uncertain of their parents' acceptance and their own intrinsic worth. Or even in our own church community, how do we bless one another? Do we say thank you often enough? Do we appreciate each other's value? Do we recognize the gifts and abilities sitting around us? And do we take the time to express with words what we feel, what we really feel for one another? Third part of the blessing is attaching high value to the one being blessed. The person receiving the blessing was always honored. To bless actually means to attach honor to someone because they are God's unique creation, or we attach honor to God because he is all glorious and wonderful. So, folks, pay attention right now. Get awed by your loved ones. Get awed by them. G.K. Chesterton said, the greatest mystery and miracle is the person sitting next to you. The greatest mystery and miracle is the person sitting next to you. Get awed by them. And if you've been given a person to love, revere them, value them, and honor them. The fourth element of the blessing was picturing a special future for the one being blessed. The father's blessing for the child always brought a future and a hope. Expecting the best of someone is the nature of love. looking forward to a bright future formed by the promises of God is a completely different stance than sighing, looking down at your child or over at your spouse, shaking your head and saying, oh, you'll never amount to much. You blew it again. How did I ever get stuck with you? And I found actually that picturing a special future for your loved one is a very effective part of praying for them. So you pray for someone, picture that future for them. Five is an active commitment to fulfill the blessing. The home for the Jewish people was ideally supposed to be an environment where this blessing could be nurtured and supported. As parents, grandparents, uncles, and spouses, we are meant to do everything possible to allow our loved ones to realize God's blessing for them, to create an environment by God's grace through the power of the Holy Spirit that over time will yield great fruit for the kingdom of God. So if you think for a minute now about Jesus' ministry, all of these five components were there so often as he dealt with people. Think about it. He would touch them. He would speak words of healing. He would honor them as having faith or not being condemned. And often he would tell them to go and create a better future in some way. Go tell, go show. And five, Jesus' whole life was his commitment to us never to leave us or forsake us. Right? So all five of those blessing components were right there in Jesus' ministry. So back to Jacob. In the end, God does bless Jacob. He answers the longing of his heart. And he does two things. The first thing God does is that he throws Jacob's hip out of joint. So is that what you mean when you say to someone, God bless you, go your way and may God throw your hip out of joint? Be careful what you say. Why this? Because in order for Jacob to receive God's blessing, he's got to realize that it's not because of his own effort. It's not because of his own perfection. The blessing has nothing to do with his own strength. You can't go quite so fast and think you are quite so self-sufficient when you limp a little, right? You're reminded that you are mortal and that you can't bless yourself on your own by brute strength, craftiness, and effort. You need the God of relentless compassion and furious love for you in Jesus Christ to lay his hand on your head and fill your heart. So if you're limping today, that limp may be God's way of reminding you that you need him. You might be limping physically, emotionally, spiritually. You may not feel very good today. You may be holding a burden, but it may be God's way of reminding you that you need him. You need his blessing. If you've been hit by life in a way that seems unfair, if there's something that keeps hurting, or if you've wrestled with God about a matter and come out bruised, stop right now and ask yourself, does it make me realize that I need God? Does it help me to be more dependent on him? Does it make me more grateful for the gift of life? And the second thing God does as a part of the blessing is that he renames Jacob Israel. Now, we talk about Israel a lot because that was the name of Israel, the nation of Israel. Israel means God's wrestler. This time, Jacob's identity is known, isn't it? It's not a case of mistaken identity, right? Because God says, oh, I know you. I'm going to rename you. No mistaken identity when God blesses us. He knows us through and through. So often, he will rename us according to his plan and purpose and future for us. So Jacob's identity is known as he is blessed. He held on to God. He persisted. He hoped in God. When everything else was lost, he is loved as a God wrestler, as the nation of Israel was known as a God wrestler and loved down through history. I love that God doesn't ask for compliant kids, you know. He calls his people God wrestlers. Why? Because we're meant to ask hard questions. We're meant to take our faith seriously. We're meant to have that intimacy with God where we ask him, where we wrestle with him, where we come out of a struggle with him. Because I think sometimes we're too willing to be placid, to give in, instead of wrestling with prayer through the night. It's a sign of intimacy when we wrestle, right? The five elements of the blessing are wrapped up in this encounter with God that Jacob has. I'm going to go through them again very quickly. The physical contact is there. Even if it's a wrestling match, it depicts human intimacy with God, like I just said. Two, the message spoken to Jacob is his new God-given name, Israel, based upon whom God knew Jacob to be and loving him for it. Three, Jacob is honored by this name, the name that would be the name of God's people forever, Israel. What an honor. Four, the picture of the future and the value and worth ascribed to Jacob as the father of Israel is clear. There's a great future for Israel. Jacob's the father of that. And finally, God's promise to Jacob in Genesis, I will never leave you, Genesis 28:15, is God's commitment to see that this blessing he confers is accomplished. Now, you may not have gotten this kind of blessing as a child. You may not have felt particularly cared for or valued growing up. You may be a lot like Jacob, a survivor who has learned to live by struggling and getting by on meager emotional and spiritual scraps. And maybe you've been highly successful living on scraps. Jacob was. 14 years of toil had given him great wealth. Yet still he cries out with a sob, I'm empty. Oh God, bless me. So if you're crying that today, the God of Jesus Christ wants you to fill you up with his blessing. In a moment, we're going to celebrate communion. The cup in communion, the one after supper in the Passover meal, is called the cup of blessing. So in Passover, there were four cups. But the third cup that was after supper is the one we celebrate here. It was called the cup of blessing. That's why I always say when I do the communion words, after he had supped, right? Jesus took the cup because that was the cup of blessing in Passover. That was the cup that gave us a new relationship with God. God himself is our blessing. So this is who Jesus is for us. We are literally receiving a blessing, his blessing in communion today. There are no strings attached to this blessing. The blessing is not something you earn. It is not something that you need to deserve because no one does. You don't have to be someone you're not to receive his blessing. The blessing of the love of Jesus Christ is completely free for you right now if you will receive him. You've got to receive the blessing of his love before you can give it away, folks, though. You can't bless those you love until you've been blessed first. Even if you took all of those five elements home with you today and you try to do them without the love of God flowing through you for your family, loved ones, and friends, it would all seem shallow and forced. But once Jacob is blessed by God, and this is the end of the story, and this is an amazing ending, look what happens next. Jacob limps out to greet Esau, his twin brother who hated him. Up until this point, Jacob would always limp now. He'd been with Almighty God and is now dependent on him. And as he limps, he's aware of his own mortality and his vulnerability. And in his woundedness, he moves toward reconciliation. He doesn't have to fight his brother anymore because he's received the true blessing. Being blessed in the presence of God always moves us toward reconciliation and blessing others. Because when you are known completely and loved completely, you give love. That's the communion message for us today. The two brothers, previously at each other's throats, embrace and they weep. And then Jacob, who has been blessed, gives his brother now a blessing that comes straight from his heart. He tells his brother that seeing his brother's face is like seeing the face of God. What a wonderful thing to say. So may we be faithful, like Jacob, to wrestle, to cry out, and to receive, and then give God's blessing to one another. Let us pray together. Lord God, thank you that you are a God of blessing. Thank you that you do not leave us alone. Thank you for your comfort, for your knowing us through and through, and still loving us all together. Thank you for that. We cannot muster this up on our own strength. So we pray, Lord, that as we receive the cup of blessing this morning, the cup of blessing in communion, as we receive the bread, your body broken for us. That we would know your great love. That we would be aware that you would give anything to be in intimate relationship with us. And that we would be so filled with your love and your forgiveness that blessing others would easily come from us. Oh Lord, we are your people. Set these elements, we pray, aside from a common to a sacred use, that you might be glorified and that we, your people, might receive all that you want us to receive so that we can give out generously. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. On the night in which he was betrayed, Jesus took bread, and when he had given thanks, he broke it, and he gave it to his disciples, and he said, "Take, eat. This is my body, broken for you. Eat this as often as you would, in remembrance of me and my great love for you." In the same way, after he supped, Jesus took the cup of blessing. He said, "This cup is the new covenant in my blood, shed for you for the forgiveness of your sins. Drink ye all of it. For as often as you eat the bread and drink the cup, you remember my death until I come again." Ministering to you in Christ's name, we give you the bread and the cup. Please eat the bread that you receive immediately as a sign of your personal relationship with Jesus Christ. And then hold the cup, and we'll take it together as a sign that we are community in Christ. And together we know him to be alive. Everyone who's received Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior is welcome to participate in this meal. Friends, these are the gifts of God, God Almighty, for the people of God. May we partake with gratitude. The blood of Christ shed for us for the forgiveness of our sins. Let us drink together. Thank you so much for worshiping with us this morning. And now may the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God that is beyond our knowledge, the presence and power of the Holy Spirit be with you, bless you, that you might be a blessing to others. Amen.